As we resume our study today, let's go back to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 36, and reset the context that we were talking about when we closed yesterday. It says here, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from he who is. So the fourth year that we're talking about is 604 BC, probably in the second half of that year, so probably the latter part of the summer is what I'm gathering, when this stuff started. Now, in a historical parallel from the Babylonian Chronicles, we know that the new king of the Babylonian Empire, Nebuchadnezzar, in this same year, in the third month of that year, so in the late spring, early summer, had left Babylon and headed out into what they refer to as Hatti land, which is just basically Syria and southward, inclusive of the Promised Land. And what he was doing is he was collecting tribute money in all those places that were now under Babylonian control. And so Judah would have been on the list of places that the Babylonians would have stopped by to pick up the tribute. So in that fourth year, that is in 604 BC, God tells the prophet Jeremiah this, verse 2, take a scroll and write on it all the words that I have spoken to you against Israel and Judah and all the nations from the day I spoke to you, from the days of Josiah until today. So all of the prophetic utterances for the past 24 years now that Jeremiah has made are to be specifically documented in a scroll. Now, Jeremiah had probably already written down some of these things, but now we need everything in written form. And so this is the beginning of the full book of Jeremiah that we're familiar with. So here is a little bit more of that. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the disaster that I intend to do to them, so that everyone may turn from his evil way, and that I may forgive their iniquity and sin. And I keep reminding you that God already knows that they're not going to repent as a large group, that they will have to come under his judgment. But in order for free will to be real, it has to be given the opportunity to be exercised. So God gives them this chance to hear his word through Jeremiah the prophet and to repent, even though they're not going to. Verse number 4. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote on a scroll at the dictation of Jeremiah all the words of he who is that he had spoken to him. So Baruch is what we refer to as a professional scribe. These were individuals who were very skilled, perhaps even gifted, in writing the lettering of the Hebrew words with such precision, such uniformity, that their documents almost looked like printed documents. And so this is what Jeremiah is to make use of to make sure this document is easily read. And so Jeremiah ordered Baruch, saying, I am banned from going to the house of he who is, so you are to go. And on a day of fasting, in the hearing of all the people in he who is his house, you shall read the words of he who is from the scroll that you've written at my dictation. You shall read them also in the hearing of all the men of Judah who come out of their cities. And it may be that their plea for mercy will come before he who is, and that everyone will turn from his evil way. For great is the anger and wrath that he who is has pronounced against this people. So Jeremiah is going to take some time, it's just not going to happen in one day, to dictate out all of the prophecies, which we've already looked at, and maybe even a few others that I put a little bit later, just because we can't be certain of the timing of them. But all of those things are going to take time to be written out, and then eventually, on a specified fast day, which we will read about later, comes up in the, I believe, the ninth month of this Jewish year. Baruch is to go up at the Temple Mount, since Jeremiah is currently barred from coming onto the Temple Mount. And once he arrives there, Baruch is to then start reading from the scroll of Jeremiah to all the people that are gathering there at the temple, some of them for worship, but most of them for ritual, just to go through the motions. And during this day of fasting that seems to be related to petitioning God to make the Babylonians go away, even though God has said that the Babylonians are his tool to make the Judeans repent. And so Baruch is going to read Jeremiah's prophecy, calling for them to repent, and then the chips will fall where they may. We will see that in a bit. So verse number 8, Baruch, the son of Neriah, did all that Jeremiah the prophet ordered him about reading from the scroll, the words of he who is in the house of he who is. Now, at this point, we jump farther ahead in the book to chapter 45, which is also from this same time period. And there's parallels that tell us that this is the same event. Chapter 45, verse 1, the word that Jeremiah the prophet spoke to Baruch, the son of Neriah, when he wrote these words in a book, or a scroll specifically, at the dictation of Jeremiah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. Thus says he who is the God of Israel to you, O Baruch. So Baruch is getting a message from God through Jeremiah about him writing down all of these things, getting ready to go up to the Temple Mount and read them aloud. It's going to put him on the front line, so to speak. And so what has he been feeling about that? Here is that answer. Verse 3, you said, woe is me, for he who is has added sorrow to my pain. I am weary with my groaning, and I find no rest. So he doesn't like what he's hearing and writing and going to have to read, and he's having a bit of a pity party for himself because he probably thinks, I'll get myself arrested and I don't have the friends in high places that Jeremiah has, which kept him from being killed that first time. He only ended up being banned from the Temple Mount. What's going to happen to me? So that's what's going through his head as he's completing this assignment. And this is the message that Jeremiah passes on to him from he who is. Verse 4, thus shall you say to him, thus says he who is, behold, what I have built, I'm breaking down. What I have planted, I am plucking up. That is the whole land. So that's a reference to the nation of Israel. First, northern Israel was taken away by the Assyrians at God's direction, and now the Babylonians are coming at God's direction to take the Judeans away. So God's breaking down the kingdom of Israel that he built up and the nation of Israel that he's planting. He is pulling out by the roots. Verse 5. And do you seek great things for yourself? Seek them not, for behold, I am bringing disaster upon all flesh, declares he who is. But I will give you your life as a prize of war in all places to which you may go. So Baruch is told, quit your whining. This is impacting on everybody, not just you. But I will give you this promise. You're not going to die in the middle of all this. I'll let you live. Wherever it is you end up, you'll still be able to continue your life. Let's now jump back to chapter 36, verse number 9. And we jump ahead to a very specific month. And it says here in verse 9, in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month. Now, one of the things that we discover is that Jeremiah uses a fall calendar in relationship to the years of reign of Jehoiakim. So the things we just read happened before the seventh month rolled around, while the fourth year of Jehoiakim was still happening, so in 604 BC, the first part of it. Now that the seventh month has rolled around and passed, we are still in 604, but it is now the fifth year of Jehoiakim. And the ninth month, if you're wondering, in that particular year would have started right around what we would call Thanksgiving in later November of 604 BC. Now, the things that we're reading might happen later in that month. So let's just say sometime in late November or during the month of December. All the people in Jerusalem and all the people who came from the cities of Judah to Jerusalem proclaimed a fast before He who is. So what's this fast all about? Well, it's not a normal calendar fast. It's a special one. And my suggestion, as has been the suggestion of many commentators, is that it's because they don't want to be under the Babylonian tribute. They don't want to have to keep paying from their funds to the coffers of Nebuchadnezzar. And so they're begging God to intervene on their behalf. Now, unfortunately, they don't want to repent in order for that to happen, which is why it's going to all end badly. Verse number 10. Then in the hearing of all the people, Baruch read the words of Jeremiah from the scroll in the house of He who is, in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the secretary, which was in the upper court at the entry of the new gate of He who is's house. Now, probably this is describing a place on the north side of the temple shrine building, in a place that might have been connected to a growing part of the larger city of Jerusalem. And so this might be the new gate on the north side of the court of the house of He who is, heading off into the newer part of Jerusalem. But we're in a little side chamber, maybe a little portico area, and he is reading aloud to anyone that will listen this scroll of Jeremiah. Verse number 11. When Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, son of Shaphan, heard all the words of He who is from the scroll, he went down to the king's house into the secretary's chamber, and all the officials were sitting there. Elishama the secretary, Delaiah the son of Shemaiah, Elnetan, the son of Achbor, Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, Zedekiah, the son of Hananiah, and all the officials. And Micaiah told them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the scroll in the hearing of the people. Now, when you chase down some of the names in this section, you'll find out that they had been involved in the time of Josiah, when things were being revived, when things were getting put back into proper place. We're now a couple of generations for some of these families from that event. But one of the younger members of this story, hears the words of Jeremiah read by Baruch, and he decides that this needs to be passed on to those with power and authority in the kingdom. So he rushes off to the palace, to the government complex, and he tells them, look, there's a new revelation being read from Jeremiah, the prophet of He Who Is. You need to know about it. Verse 14, then all the officials sent Jehudi, the son of Netaniah, son of Shelemiah, son of Cushi, to say to Baruch, take in your hand the scroll that you may read, that you read in the hearing of the people, and come. So Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the scroll in his hand and came to them. And they said to him, sit down and read it. So Baruch read it to them. So these guys, they don't go out to listen. They say, Baruch, you need to come to us and read this to us right now. And when they heard all the words, they turned one to another in fear. Why are they afraid? Because Jeremiah's prophecies have been saying for 24 years now, judgment of God is coming by the hands of the Babylonians. And if you don't repent, it's going to slam down on you. And these guys have been dealing with the Babylonians operating in their area. In fact, the very first exiles have been taken away to Babylon last year when Daniel and his friends and others were drafted into a school program where they would become courtiers to Nebuchadnezzar. Well, verse number 17, the rest of verse 16. They said to Baruch, we must report all these words to the king. So these guys are the advisors to King Jehoiakim. Many of them are probably his age or older. And they are now feeling the king needs to hear this so he can take the action. And so they ask Baruch, tell us, please, how did you write all these words? Was it at his dictation, meaning at Jeremiah's? And Baruch answered them, he dictated all these words to me while I wrote them with ink on the scroll. The official said to Baruch, go and hide, you and Jeremiah, and let no one know where you are. So these guys know that there is a very strong possibility that the king and some of his other advisors are not going to be happy when they are hearing all of these words of warning and condemnation from the prophet Jeremiah. It's possible that he may not want to repent and might instead want to kill prophet Jeremiah and anyone associated with him. So Jeremiah, Baruch, you go hide out and we'll take it from here. So they went into the court to the king, having put the scroll in the chamber of Elishama, the secretary, and they reported all the words to the king. And then the king sent Jehudi to get the scroll, and he took it from the chamber of Elishama, the secretary, and Jehudi read it to the king and all the officials who stood before the king. It was the ninth month, and the king was sitting in the winter house, and there was a fire burning in the fire pot before him. So we already talked about this. The ninth month has fallen between the last part of November into the beginning of December. So it is not technically winter yet, but it is winter weather. We know that. Very cold and wet usually at Jerusalem this time of year. And so the king is in his better insulated, better protected part of his palace, and he's got a good blazing fire burning in a brazier nearby. And so as Yehudi read three or four columns, and this is where we need to describe scrolls again, the Word of God is written in block columns. I don't know, it's about 10 inches wide, 8 to 10 inches wide usually, from top to bottom. And then they'll move to another column and start the writing. Right to left, multiple lines, all fitting into another block of script. And so the scroll then gets rolled and unrolled according to which column you want to look at. So what's happening is, as Yehudi is reading from the beginning of the scroll, once he gets a couple of those columns into his reading, the king then says, bring it over here. And he takes out a knife and he cuts those columns already read off and throws them into the fire pot, until the entire scroll was consumed in the fire that was in the fire pot. So we don't know how many feet long this scroll is, but a foot or two at a time, a couple of feet at a time, is being cut off of it until there is nothing left of it. The king has heard the words, but he has decided they should not ever be heard by anyone else ever again. He's burning the word of God. Verse 24, yet neither the king nor any of his servants who heard all these words was afraid, nor did they tear their garments. So that's different than what the earlier group of advisors did. They were upset. They were afraid. So those are kind of the believers in the inspiration of Jeremiah the prophet. These guys don't have that faith. So verse 25, even when Elnathan and Delaiah and Gemariah urged the king not to burn the scroll, he would not listen to them. And the king commanded Jeremiel, the king's son, and Sariah, the son of Aziel, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdeel, to seize Baruch the secretary and Jeremiah the prophet. But the Lord, he who is, hid them. So an arrest warrant goes out to grab these guys. But now the word of God's been burned. How do we end up with the book of Jeremiah to be involved in the written word of God that we have today? Well, that's answered in the next part, verse 27. Now, after the king had burned the scroll with the words that Baruch wrote at Jeremiah's dictation, the word of He Who Is came to Jeremiah. Take another scroll and write on it all the former words which were in the first scroll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, has burned. So, Jeremiah, just make another one. Make another edition of it. And make sure that it is around for a record of the judgment that's coming. Verse 29, and concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah, you shall say. So now we're going to add even more information to the book. Thus says He Who Is, you've burned this scroll, saying, why have you written it in it that the king of Babylon will certainly come and destroy this land and will cut it off from man and beast? Therefore, thus says He Who Is concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit on the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out to the heat by day and the frost by night. Okay, a couple of things to be noted here. Let's use the second one first. Jehoiakim is going to be told prophetically he will not be buried properly. Once he is dead, his body is going to be thrown away like roadkill. It's going to be scavenged. This is going to be his personal punishment for rejecting the inspired word of God. But there is also a curse that is put on his family line from here on out, that no one from this genetic line will be able to sit on the throne of David later. Now, we'll have a couple of other people that are related to him that will be spending some time as the king. But once the prophecies come to their completion and the people of Israel come back, no one from Jehoiakim's family tree will ever be in the new kingdom. And this, folks, is one of the reasons for the virgin birth. When we see the two genealogies of Jesus in the New Testament, the Matthew genealogy, which includes Jehoiakim, is that of Jesus' adopted father, Joseph. So it is Jesus' legal heritage, but it is not his genetic heritage. When we look at Mary's genealogy in the book of Luke, this is the genetic line of Jesus, and it comes not through Solomon, the son of David, but through Solomon's younger brother, Nathan, the son of David. And so Jesus is genetically from a parallel line to that of Solomon. He has rights to both lines because of Mary's marriage to Joseph. So I just want you to be aware that this is the dead ending of the Solomonic kingdom line genetically. No one from that line will ever be counted as a king again. Verse number 31, I will punish him and his offspring and his servants for their iniquity. I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the people of Judah all the disaster that I have pronounced against them, but they would not hear. So God basically says, doesn't matter what you believe, it's happening anyway. And then Jeremiah took another scroll, gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote on it at the dictation of Jeremiah all the words of the scroll that Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire, and many similar words were added to it. So that is the source, the genesis of our modern-day book of Jeremiah. Saved from the fire by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit through Jeremiah and Baruch to get these things written down.